9 o'clock here at the Oasis in the City. Welcome to the morning set. I'm Carlos Lando along with Stephen Abbey, and we've got some very special guests in the studio with us this morning. Angela Guerrero and Ana Diaz, the daughters of Jerry Kranz from El Chapultepec, and they're here for a very good reason. And in fact, we're gonna put you right in the mood right now. Let's run this one. This is the way, when you went to the Peck, this is what you heard at the end of every set. That's Freddie Sr., of course. Freddie Rodriguez, the longest running band leader in El Chapultepec history.
He played at the end, too, right?
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Don't drink and drive.
Yeah, good night, everybody. You know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, as he used to go. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi, we're good. You forgot to mention his safe sax.
Well, yeah, I'll always practice safe sax.
Oh, that's safe sax.
Yes.
Jeez.
Freddie!
Welcome to the show. It's
Thank
good to
you
have you here.
Me.
Thank you for getting up and getting in here.
The website is thepecklegacy.com. We'll say that a few times because in all of our heartbreak and all the drama and the emotion of the closing of El Chapultepec, the Peck lives today. Yeah. Thanks to your efforts and what I'm sure surprised you as a community outpouring.
Absolutely. When we decided to close, we knew it was going to be very emotional for everybody in the city. But what we didn't realize is how much the Peck sort of had its own identity. People thought of it like a living, breathing part of their family or a person. And it was a very intense grief that people had. And that was surprising to us at that time. But what we'd like to do is, in part of this legacy project, is capture some of that emotion so that we can preserve all of those fun times, those good stories that we had. And, you know, it's a bit of an oral history because a lot of this happened before social media. So nobody had a phone, a camera in their hand and in their pocket. And so a lot of these amazing experiences that people had are, you know, they don't live anywhere but in our memories.
Yeah.
And so that's a big part of the Legacy Project is just to bring the community together to share and visit with a lot of those experiences that we'd like to carry on. So on the website, that's where you'll see the photo gallery and, you know, there's a page there if you have a funny story you'd like to share with us so we can archive. And that's kind of where the project got started.
Yeah, the oral history is so important, especially for those of us who are still around and able to not only tell the story, but hopefully recollect first, because there's so many that we've forgotten. You know, it's like half the stuff I can't remember, but when I run into somebody who says, Carlos, you remember that night when this happened or that happened, that kind of stuff, it's just... It's amazing. So let's talk about the Legacy Project and the partnership that we have going with Dazzle.
Absolutely.
Well. Yeah.
So the second part of the Legacy Project is involving the music, right?
Right.
So in Denver's jazz scene, we have a lot of vibrant, beautiful jazz clubs, right? And most of them format original music, which is the goal of jazz music, right, is to create. But what El Chapultepec had was not a lot of original music, but a lot of improvisation. And, you know, the bands that are booked for playing their original set have their band, and they've rehearsed, and they have their charts they play. And it doesn't really invite to the sit-in as much, right? And so the idea of the piano lounge, the El Chapultepec Piano Lounge at Dazzle, is that we can foster some of that more impromptu, more improv, more inviting to that same environment after they have their main shows at Dazzle. So we're fundraising for that to happen so that we can continue to have that be a cover charge free event, and it would be running Thursdays through Sundays late night after the main Dazzle shows.
That was actually the that was the, in the spirit of El Chapultepec, was the no cover. Never a cover charge. Didn't matter who Jerry had brought in to work that weekend with Freddie or with Ritz Charlucci or whoever was the band leader at the time, Angela. That was it. Like you said, you could. There were certain characters around the neighborhood, right? Who, you know, knew when to go. They had a few bucks saved up in their pocket, and they would be right at the bar, standing next to some dignitary.
Yes,
that
exactly.
was the whole culture. And of course, you took over in running the establishment after Papa passed away, after Jerry passed away, and so forth. You kept it going a long, long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I kept the live music going. Put a little more of the blues music
sure.
in.
Yeah.
And still kept the no cover charge.
Right.
It's
right,
like Daddy
right.
always thought everybody. Yeah. is welcome to listen to live music, so he made sure that there was never a cover charge.
And things kind of evolved and changed a little bit after the ballpark opened up.
Lots of changes.
Obviously, the regular clientele, you know, just kind of moved on a little bit. Some of the regulars stayed there, but it got a little tougher for those of us who were there prior to the baseball park. You know, the late 80s, the early 90s. Of course, you know, we were there for 2.5 years broadcasting live from the second booth.
Yes.
Which for us was just an amazing
just
time.
Just so much fun. And Freddie was there every Wednesday and Thursday also.
Yeah, we did Thursdays, and then we did Sundays for a while with Billy Tolles as well. Back in the day, she's going, you did?
Sorry, I was a teenager, so I was in the kitchen side back then.
Yes.
There's stories you haven't heard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stories I haven't heard.
Okay. I when Carlos talks about the changes in running a downtown bar or music establishment, how do you describe them? Because there was then, and then it was really interesting as more transient people like ball game crowds are just in and out. Why is it so crowded in here? Where's the room? And we were just like, where's the music? Give me a bud.
That was definitely a big part of what the decision was to close, was that the neighborhood had changed in such a way that we could have stayed open. It wasn't that we weren't, you know, financially viable, but right. what kind of a business were we?
Yeah.
We were in El Chapultepec.
Right.
Because we had to start doing so many concessions just for safety alone. You know, we had to be closing by 1 o'clock. And so that meant, you know, the set had to stop a little bit earlier so that everybody could get in and out. We had to make sure that the musicians had a safe way to load in and load out after the set so that we could get out before the mass,
the famous door on Market.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the door. It was all about that door. All the
exactly.
action was around that door.
You know, and when there was the big celebrations, you know, for the sports championships, we would just have to close because we just couldn't maintain safely. We would have to soak bar rags and stick them in the door ways, you know, to try to prevent the pepper spray from getting in because the time we didn't do that, it took a week to air out.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
You know, and so it just turned into a lot of safety management and, you know, having to adjust what type of music that we can book that is appropriate for the crowd that's maybe half listening at a half volume, you know.
Right.
And it just got away from, I'm sure, Carlos, you can remember in the days, the place would be packed. Dad used to tease that there was a square for every person on that 12-inch tile square, right?
Oh, the black and white
the
tile
black
square.
And white square. That was the seating reserve system. Let's pick a tile. And you could still hear a pin drop when there was a bass solo.
Yeah.
I mean, people were engaged and they were listening and they were there for it. And as the crowd and the neighborhood changed, it was just another stop on the, you know, bar crawl.
Yeah.
And
man.
So we still had great times. We
sure.
still had fun bands. Angela did a great job, you know, managing the delicate balance of still promoting quality, you know, live music and meeting the business goals. But ultimately, it just got to be too much to really stay true to what we wanted to do and be in that location.
Yeah. I remember your dad would always say, what do you want to eat? He goes, I got the best food in the world, cooking those beans starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. He had a lady who would come in and get that big pot of pinto beans going.
Loopy.
Yeah, loopy, yeah. And then when we get done with the broadcast at around 11 or 12 o'clock on a Thursday night, you know, now it's time to bring out that amazing bean burrito that had so much flavor to it. And if you had one drink too many, that would just, like, you know, sober you up really good. You know, soak it up, man. It was just great, great memories, man.
Angela, what was the sign on the side? It said Hot Burritos and Cool Jazz?
Cool Jazz, yep. Had the Hot Burritos and Cool Jazz every night.
Yeah.
I used to make the green chili once Daddy actually allowed me to have the recipe.
Oh, okay, really? So yeah. It was kind of like a secret, huh?
Yes, he never let anybody know the recipe.
Wow.
This is a scoop.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Angela's green chili coming soon. Yeah. Awesome. One of the great things about the legacy is that you're asking for more photos, stories, and a great gathering spot is there at the new Dazzle at the Denver Performing Arts Center. In the back of the lounge is a piano, and that's the area called the El Chapultepec Piano Lounge at Dazzle. So you're still finding, still hearing stories, still collecting pictures to make this... keep this legacy going. You got shirts and all that stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So on the website, there's the, you know, check out the pictures that we do have uploaded. There's a form for you to send me any other, you know, stories or photographs that you have that you'd like to upload on there. There's a link for the apparel shop. We have a legacy project design that's really neat, and you'll see a whole bunch of other links there, including a founding donor link for the piano lounge.
Okay.
The Peck Legacy, the Peck, P-E-C, thepecklegacy.com.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Angela. Thank you to the entire Kranz family for the Legacy Project and for everything that El Chapultepec was and is and continues to be. We really appreciate you coming in this morning. We're going to get back into music and feature a man who was on that stage many times, heading up the band for a long time, Rich Charlucci, who is such a beautiful cat and a wonderful player. This is Rich with Ken Walker, also on bass. Ken, when he first came to town, one of his first gigs was to be the bass player.
And Ken played about 6 to 7 nights a week for a good steady 10 years.
Yes.
He was a fixture there. Many times. And Rich, you can see, did an interview in the documentary that's on the homepage of the Peck Legacy. It's a 20-minute short documentary, and he's in there, too.
All right. This is only the beginning, okay? It's a new beginning. Thank you.
Yeah, because we're going to tell more stories of the Peck Legacy and actually bring a radio version coming up later in September during our fall membership campaign.
You got it.
So tune in for the Peck Legacy radio style.
Got it. All right, here's Rich Charlucci. This is a Jimmy Heath composition called Big P on Kubo Jazz.